I'd like to read with you this evening from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7,
verses 13 to 29. Paul, so it's the 27, shall we read?
Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he says this: "Enter ye in at the straight or at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sands. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Once again, we'll look to God to add his blessing to the reading of his word this evening. You know, the Lord Jesus was a master teacher, wasn't he? The Lord Jesus was somebody who could take simple, everyday illustrations and bring before us profound and deep and spiritual lessons and spiritual truths. And the passage that we've read this evening is no exception. Because the Lord Jesus speaks about everyday things. He speaks about simple things. He gives three simple illustrations. He speaks about two roads, with two gates leading onto the two roads, and two destinations at the end of the two roads. The Lord Jesus speaks about two different kinds of tree. Trees that bring forth good fruit, and trees that produce bad fruit. And he speaks about two houses and two foundations, and two outcomes when the storm comes. He's got a house that is built on a rock, and when the storm comes, the house stands firm. And you've got a house that's built on the shifting sand, and when the storm comes, the sand is washed away, and the house falls, and there's great destruction. I want you to notice that at the end of each of these three illustrations, there are some quite severe and serious consequences. So you see, at the end of the broad road, there is destruction. At the end of the broad road, there is utter ruin. The end of a tree that doesn't bring, that doesn't produce good fruit, is to be cut down and to be burned. And the end outcome of a house that isn't built on the right foundation is that it falls. And its destruction is great. Now these things are serious, aren't they? Because of course the Lord Jesus isn't just talking about roads as we think of them. You see, usually if you get on the wrong road, it doesn't lead you to destruction, unless of course you get onto a road that ends nowhere and throws you off a cliff. I mean, usually the worst thing that can happen if you get on the wrong road is that you get lost for a while and then you eventually find the right way. But you see, the end of the road that the Lord Jesus is talking about is destruction. It's ruin. It's eternal loss. And Lord Jesus isn't just talking about trees. And he's not just talking about builders who build on different foundations. You see, the Lord Jesus is talking about people. And he's talking about people's lives. And he's talking about the direction in which we're heading. He's talking about the road in which we're travelling on. He's talking about the kind of people that we are, the kind of individuals that we are, the kind of nature that we possess. And he's talking about what it is that we are building our lives and our hopes and our future upon. For the sake of, I want to ask three very simple questions at the outset of the meeting. I want to ask you, what road are you on this evening? What road are you travelling? You see, there are only two options that are given. There is either the broad road that leads to destruction, or the narrow road that leads to life. Which road are you heading on? Are you heading for destruction, or are you heading for life? I want to ask you this evening, what kind of tree are you? What kind of tree are you? Are you... what kind of nature do you have? Are you possessed of a sinful nature? A nature that cannot please God? That's what the Bible says. The Bible speaks about the sinful nature that we're all born with. Every single one of us are born with a sinful nature. And it calls it the flesh. And those who have never been born again, who have never had that sinful nature transformed and a new nature given to them, they're talked about as being in the flesh. You know what the Bible says about those who are in the flesh? It says quite simply this. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. And you see, that puts things in a different light. Because, you know, as we look at ourselves and as we look at the people around us, we know that people who are not Christians are capable of doing things that are noble and doing things that we would call good. So things that seem to be upright, and there are those that live upright and good and clean living lives. But you see, the problem is that even the best of us are tainted. Even the best of us are sinners. Without exception, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that none that doeth good, not even one. Not even one. There's none of us that constantly and without exception does what is absolutely right and just and morally good. Not one of us. You see, every one of us is possessed of a sinful nature. Every one of us is, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, every one of us is a bad tree. And unless something happens, unless we get a new nature, a nature that's given to us by God alone, unless, as the Bible calls it, as the Lord Jesus terms it, unless we are born again, says the Lord Jesus, you'll never see the kingdom of God. You'll never be in heaven. Why? Because of our sinful nature. Because of the things that we've done that are wrong. Because of the things that we know we should have done that we haven't done. The things that are sinful. That demonstrate us to be sinners. I'm going to ask the third question. What kind of foundation are you building on? What kind of foundation are you building on? What is it that you're pinning your hopes on? You say, what kind of hopes? You see, I might be pinning my hopes for the future on my pension plan, or I might be pinning my hopes for the future on winning the lottery, or all kinds of things. I'm not talking about the next 60, 70 years. I'm not talking about the next 30, 40 years. I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about what happens when we pass out of this life into the next. I want to ask you again this evening, what is it that you're pinning your hopes on? What is the foundation
that you're building upon. I want to tell you this evening, and I'm going to tell you this now, although I'll tell you again when we get to it, that there is no other foundation than the Lord Jesus. There's no other foundation that is secure. There's no other foundation that will see us through. There's no other foundation that will get us into heaven than the Lord Jesus and what He did on the cross at Calvary. We've just been singing about it. There is one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. On the path of the cross, He was willing to tread all the sins of my life to forgive. What road are you travelling? What kind of tree are you? What foundation are you building upon? See, when we think about the road that we're travelling on, you'll notice that it involves a definite choice. It involves a definite choice to get onto the narrow road, to go in at the narrow gate. I want to tell you this this evening, Ethan, you're never going to drift onto this road. You're never going to stumble on it by chance. It is a road that you have to start travelling, and it is a road that you know that you're on. You say, well, I don't actually know which road I'm on. But if you don't know which road you're on this evening, I want to suggest that you're still on the broad road. You're still on the wrong road. You're still lost. You're still heading for destruction. You see, that broad road is a road that's so broad that it sets everybody in the world on. And every single person that enters into the world, when they're born, they're going through the broad gate. And every single one of us is headed onto a road that's leading us away from God. Leading us away from heaven. Leading us to destruction, to eternal judgment. That's every single one of us that comes into the world. Why? Because we're all descendants of Adam. We're all descendants of the first man who sinned. We all carry his nature. We all carry the disease that he's passed on. It's a genetic disease. It's in our genes. It's something that's passed on from father to child, down through the ages. And we're all sinners. And we're all on that broad road. You know, for some, it's a path of self-destruction. Really, isn't it? And there are those who get involved in substance abuse or other kinds of abuse, and others that are looking on can see what it's doing to them. And they can see what it's doing to their body, and they can see where it's leading. And others get into a pathway of crime, and you can see what road they're on, and you can see the pathway that they're travelling, and you can see the self-destruct button that has been pressed in so many people's lives. Do you know there are others? There are others who are maybe very religious. And there are others who seem to be very upright. But you know we're all travelling the same road. You say to me, well, how do I get onto the narrow road? You say, well, you have to enter through the narrow gate. You say, why is it narrow? Because there's only room for you. And you have to enter it as an individual. I can't come with you. I can't drag you in. And nobody else can drag you in either. It's something that you have to do for yourself. It's enter in at the narrow gate. Elsewhere, when the Lord Jesus is saying the same thing in Luke's Gospel, he says this. He says, strive to enter in the straight gate. Make it your number one priority. Make it your number one priority. There's nothing, absolutely nothing more important than making sure that you're on the right road. Nothing whatsoever that is more important for your eternal destiny and for your well-being down here than that you know that you're on the right road. That you're on the road to life. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow gate because there's an awful lot of baggage I'm going to have to leave behind. There's my pride. Conceit. Self-importance. The sins. See, the things that we have to give up to enter this road.
But I want to tell you this evening that the things that you'll need to give up to become a Christian, the things that you'll need to give up to enter onto the road to life, are the things that have taken you to destruction. Those are the things that we need to give up. Those are the things that we need to leave behind. The Bible speaks about repentance. And repentance is simply this, it's a change of attitude, it's a change of mind, it's a change of direction. It's looking on the things that are keeping me away from God, keeping me out of heaven, and saying I want nothing more to do with them. I'm done with them. It's recognizing them for what they are. Recognizing them for the things that they are, that they are the things that are keeping me away from God, that are keeping me away from life. You know, this road is a road that starts at the cross. And there are two things that the cross does. There are two things that the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ will do. As we look upon the Lord Jesus, as we look upon the one who bled and died for sinners, it exposes my guilt. It exposes me for what I am. Because it's because of what I am that the Lord Jesus is there. It's because of what I have done that He was there hanging in shame and agony on the cross. It's because of what I have done, it's because of who I am that He went through the darkness and He went through the awfulness of the wrath of God. And it exposes me for what I am. All my guilt. All my shame. All my fallenness, and the Lord has laid the punishment on Him. On Him. And not only does the cross expose me for what I am, not only does the cross expose me as a sinner, as guilty and vile and hopeless and helpless in the sight of God, I want to tell you something else. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And for those that come with a burden of sin, for those that come with the realization of their guilt and the realization of their need, and they look to Christ for salvation and realize that when He died on the cross, He died for you, and He died for me. For those who are willing to put their trust in Him for salvation, there's forgiveness, and there's deliverance, and there's salvation, and there's peace. I want to ask you this evening, have you got peace? Have you got peace with God? You know, there's a very famous story. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. It was written by a man called John Bunyan. And John Bunyan, sitting there in a prison in Bedford, wrote it, and he wrote it as if it was a dream. And he spoke about a man whose name was Christian. He was leaving behind the city of destruction, and he wanted to go to the heavenly city. He wanted to go to heaven. And at the beginning of the story, we see Christian, and he's bowed down by a great burden upon his back. But you know, when Christian reaches the cross, and sees the cross and the empty tomb, the cross where the Lord Jesus died, the tomb that is empty because He's risen again from the dead, you know, his burden falls from off his back, and he's free from it forever. You know, there's a hymn that we sing, "Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you our evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood." I want to tell you this evening, or I want to ask you this evening, have you ever been to the cross? I'm not asking you if you've ever been to the land of Israel. I have. And I've been to the site, I've been to the two sites of where it might have been. But I'm not asking you that this evening. So has there ever been a time in your experience when you've come to the cross, when you've come to the foot of the cross, when you've come to the one who died for you and realized that He did die for you? When you put your trust in Him as your Savior, when you thanked Him for dying for you, when you realize that He's done everything, absolutely everything, to bring about your salvation. Have you ever been there?
I want to suggest very kindly to you this evening that if you've not, you're not saved. If you've never been to the cross, if you've never faced up to what took place at the cross, you're still on the broad road and it's leading to destruction. What road are you travelling this evening? It's a difficult road. It's not an easy road, the path of a Christian. You see, it's a path that goes against the trend. It's a path that goes against the drift of the world that we're in. It's not an easy road. I want to tell you this evening, it's a worthwhile road. It's the only road that's worth treading. It's a road that leads to life. It's a road that leads to salvation. It's a road that leads to heaven. There are two different kinds of trees, isn't there? I'm spoken about the fact that we're all tainted by sin. It's a sheer impossibility for a bad tree, a diseased tree, to produce good fruits. But the Lord Jesus says, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, a bad tree cannot produce good fruits. You know, if we're to be a good tree, we need to be changed. We need to be transformed. I want to ask you this evening, has that ever happened in your life? Have you been born again? Have you been given a new nature? Have you been made alive to God? See, the Bible has all different kinds of expressions that speak about this. Have you been given a new nature? A nature that has the life of God. Have you got eternal life this evening? You know, you can have it through faith in the Lord Jesus. And when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus, and when a person puts their trust in the Lord Jesus, they're given a brand new nature. Well, the old nature is not taken away. We still have the old nature with us until the day that we die. Or until the day that the Lord Jesus comes to take us home, but we've got a new nature. A nature that the more that we allow God to work in is a nature that will produce fruit for God. A nature that can please God. A nature that can gain the victory over sin and can deliver us from the sin that holds on to us and strangles us. What kind of tree are you? See, the Lord Jesus says, it's by their fruits you shall know them. You see, I can say that I'm a Christian. I can say that I've been born again. But if there's no evidence of it, there's no evidence of it. Others might well question, has it ever happened? You see, Christians are changed people. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was here, he changed people's lives. He changed people's lives radically. There was a woman, a sinful woman, who he met by a well. He changed her life. There were those who were physically sick. So the Lord Jesus came into contact with. There was a man who was born blind, and the Lord Jesus gave him sight, and I tell you, that man was never the same again. The people that came into contact with the Lord Jesus were never the same again. That's not to say Christians are perfect. That's not to say that Christians always do what's right. We've talked about the two natures. We've talked about the fact that Christians still have a sinful nature, as well as the nature that God gives. But we change. God gives us life. And where there's life, there's a change, and there's growth, and there's evidence of that life. Do you claim to be a Christian this evening? Has there ever been a change in your life? But then we ask the question, what foundation are you building on? What foundation are you building on? There were two foundations there that the Lord Jesus spoke of, wasn't there? There was the rock. And there's the sand. In Luke's Gospel, where the Lord Jesus tells the same story, he talks about one who digs deep and makes sure that his house is well founded on a rock. And there's another man who without a foundation, he just builds his house on the earth. No foundation at all. You see, has your life got a foundation? Has your faith got a foundation? The hymn writer said this, he says, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wings for me shall plead.
I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. You know, that's the foundation that I'm building on. That's the foundation that I'm basing my hope of eternal salvation upon. It's the foundation of the Lord Jesus. You know, this evening, we're talking about foundations. And we're telling you about the Lord Jesus. And I'm not just telling you this evening that the Lord Jesus is the best foundation to build on. Although he is. There's none better than the Lord Jesus. But you see, it goes further than that. See, the Lord Jesus just isn't the best among a host of others that will get you there more or less. The Lord Jesus is the only foundation. He's the only foundation. And if you're not built on him, if your faith isn't firmly fixed in him, if your life isn't inextricably linked with him, and you're built on the sand, and there's no foundation that's going to stay in your stead. If you're trying to base your foundation on what you can do, it's not going to work. The only foundation is Christ. So important to be sure. It's so important to know that you're on the right road. It's so important to know that you're built on the right foundation. It's so important to know that you've got a new nature inside you. A nature that responds to God. A nature that can be obedient to God. A nature that can have a relationship and a fellowship with God. Because that's where we come to in the little bit that we read in the middle. And really, this is the part that drew me to this passage this evening. Because the Lord Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that's serious, isn't it? Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is going to be in heaven. You see, if I went down to Buckingham Palace and knocked on the door, they wouldn't let me in. I could say, hang on, you've got to let me in. Don't you remember the one time you were there in the balcony and I was on the crowd outside and I was waving at you? I know you. You're the Queen. You can let me in. You think you'd let me in then? Or maybe someone that's had the privilege of being invited to a garden party. They could say, I've eaten in your presence. Are you there? Come on, let me in, will you? It's not going to happen. Why? Because she doesn't know me. She doesn't know me. I want to ask you a very serious question this evening. Do you expect to be in heaven? Do you hope to be in heaven? On what basis are you resting that hope? See, the Lord Jesus, he tells this story in Luke again. And he talks about the man of the house, and he's come and he's risen up and he's closed the door. And there's people in the coming and they're knocking on the door. And they're saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. So Lord, we've been drunk in your presence. We're listening to you, teaching in our streets. We could bring it up today. Lord, Lord, open to us. I've sat in a meeting week after week after week and I've heard your word every week. For however long it might be. Open to me. Because I don't know you. I don't know you. There's never been a time when you actually got to know me. That would be tragic, wouldn't it? Tragic to sit in a meeting week after week or from time to time and to hear the word of God preached and never do a thing about it. Never get to know Christ. See, that's what salvation's about. Salvation is not about knowing about Christ. It's not about knowing about the Bible. Salvation is about knowing Christ. Knowing the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you this evening, do you know him? Have you got a personal relationship with him? Are you on speaking terms with him? Do you know the Lord Jesus? So, well, how can I know him? How can I know him? As the jailer in Philippi said, what must I do to be saved? The answer is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Put your trust in him. The essence of any relationship is trust. If you're prepared to put your trust in him and prepared to do as he says, then you'll start the process of getting to know him. Oh, you've been saved. The day that you've been saved 50 years is the day that you first were. It's the fact that we've come and we've put our trust in him for salvation that is the point that matters. And everything after that is a process of getting to know. Getting to know him better. You know, that's what a relationship's about, isn't it? That's what a relationship in a family is about. It's about getting to know each other, and you get to know each other. You know, it's a process that will go on throughout your life. You never fully know somebody else. It's a process that starts. It has to have a starting point. A friendship has to start with an introduction. It has to start with two people speaking to one another, with there being a common basis. I tell you, the common basis that we can have for a friendship with the Lord Jesus is having our sins forgiven. And that comes by putting our faith and our trust in him. He's done everything. He died for us. He's taken the punishment for our sins so that we can be forgiven. But you can know that and still keep him at a distance. You can know that and still never have it hope. Still never have it hope. Happen. If you want to be on the narrow road, you've got to enter in at the narrow gate. If you want to build on the rock, you've got to start building. There has to be a point when it all starts. If it's never happened before, it can happen to you this evening. So we pray. And Father, we thank you this evening for this time we've spent together. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the simplicity of the illustrations that he gave, of the stories that he told. And yet, our Father, we think of the serious nature of the things that he said, the serious consequences that there are of those who reject his overtures of friendship and his offer of friendship and fellowship and forgiveness. And Father, we just pray that there'll be someone here this evening that will be prepared to take that first step. That first step of trusting him as their saviour. That first step of realising that it was their sin that took him to the cross. It was their sin for which he died. And that first step of coming to him and thanking him and asking him to be their saviour. And so, Father, we just give you thanks for this time we've had together, and we pray thy blessing to be upon thy words and upon each of us now as we go home. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, give me our thanks. Amen.